Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We like to call it the best couple of hours of your sports week. This is the place where sports opinions collide. I am the host, 12 Kyle, and joining me are my homies. First up to bat, my man Beezy, 430. Beezy, what up, though?
What up, though? What up, Kyle? What's going on, fellas?
Chilling, man. What's going on? What's happening?
None. Still trying to figure out with FIFA why the Cavs will win in six.
Hey, how are you going to get your money, B?
2010, baby.
We'll get into that a little later. Also joining us, man, is the homie FIFA. FIFA, what up, playboy?
So what it do? B. Calm all that down. Y'all thought I was crazy as hell last year, and I came on this same show and kept saying Cavs in seven, Cavs in six. Now, I may not believe that, but.
Oh, so now you don't believe it.
Hey, I said I'm sticking to my guns. I'm not backing down.
Hey, Kevin Durant's a different animal, brother.
Hey, go ahead and introduce Ken so I can go ahead.
Hey, FIFA, are you a mobile or are you at the computer?
I'm on the mobile.
Okay, because you sound like you're a little bit further. Okay, I guess we'll fine-tune that. Also joining us is the homie Ken. Ken, what up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Chilling, man. What's good?
Oh, nothing. Hey, real quick, I have a question for B. B, have you listened to this tape by Drugs and Illpo, a rapper named Illpo?
Yeah.
Called Worst Case Scenario? Yeah, I just finally listened to it today.
Yeah, it came. He dropped it around the same time he did the album with Fat Father.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been sitting in my library, so I finally had to check it out. Actually, I like it, man. You know, Drugs did his thing on the beats.
What kind of name is that, man?
I never heard of this Illpo guy.
What kind of name is that?
What, Illpo or Drugs? Which one?
Drugs. Who calls themselves Drugs?
Hey, because his beats are like, I like Drugs, man. Oh, you hear Drugs is dope, man. Drugs is dope.
He is. And that's a dope name, Kyle. You sounded old, man.
Hey, man, I am old, man. I'm used to dudes like Ski and Snow and stuff like that. I guess, well, those are cocaine references, so I guess it's all the same. okay, let me write this down. Look up Drugs after the show. All right, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The NBA Finals are rolling hot and heavy.
Wait. Let's clarify that. Drugs, D-R-U-G-S, the producer. Look up Drugs, the producer. Yes. Kyle's not looking up Drugs.
That's right. I don't do drugs. Oh, man. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. The NBA Finals are here and in full swing, hot and heavy. We're two games down at the time of this recording. Game three will be tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. on ABC. A lot of stuff to talk about. Be NBA heavy tonight as well. Let's start right there, man. Before the finals actually started, man, LeBron James had to deal with something that – many people who look like LeBron James has to deal with throughout this country. As many of you know, LeBron James's home in Los Angeles was vandalized. The N-word was spray painted on his gate. And this happened, if I'm not mistaken, the day before the finals started. So it's been a little while before. I mean, it happened since our last podcast, so we haven't had a chance to talk about it. B, I'll start first with you, man. What did you think about that story? And more importantly, how do you think LeBron handled it?
I thought he handled it great. I'm glad that he took it to the podium and spoke about the whole situation, knowing that saying to many people, I mean, black, white, all of, you know, mainly black, like no matter how rich, how famous you are, people are going to still look at you as a certain way, regardless of your fame and your classism and all that stuff. So I'm not saying I'm glad it happened to LeBron, but I'm glad it happened to someone of that stature. And then for them to talk about it and speak about it, saying like, look, it can happen to, you know, the poor person as well as it can happen to us rich folks, you know? So I'm happy that LeBron addressed it with some class. You know, he could have been the typical angry black athlete or whatever about it, but I'm glad first and foremost, he said, I'm just glad my family wasn't there. My family's safe. You know, I'm glad I didn't had a nerve to do this type of stuff while my family was there, you know. So, yeah, I'm just really glad that he's spoken. And I'm glad that other OG athletes are, like, you know, speaking on it as well. And, like, you know, it's kind of like it's good to see, like, the OGs kind of giving props to the young guys, man. So I'm glad LeBron James is definitely – he's definitely an athlete that cares about the community and that's, like, he put his peoples first, man. Like, he's proved that. Throughout the years, man, LeBron is—he's about that life, man. When it comes to the inner city community and everything, man. So, you know, unfortunate it happened to him, but I'm glad it's still one of those things that you got to shine a light bright on, and that's why we have to talk about it. Like we have to sit and talk about stuff like this, you know, to the Caucasian folks out there. You know, you have to sit and talk and listen. Don't just brush it off your shoulders and just act like, oh, okay, why are we still talking about this? Oh, my God. Because it's still happening. It's right. Still happening fresh to us on a daily basis, man. And, you know, and now with social media, it's just magnifying even more. You know, just think, you know, think 30 years ago. Look how many Rodney Kings we probably would have had, you know, in the 70s, in the 80s, like before we had access to cameras and stuff like that. It's been Rodney King's been going on, situations been going on forever, you know? So, yeah, man, I'm just glad that LeBron just brought it to the light and brought it to the people, man. Like, look, this is how it is. You're gonna have to deal with it and face it, and you're going to have to communicate with us and talk to us about the situation because this is still happening today.
No doubt, no doubt. What about you, FIFO? Your thoughts on the incident, as well as, you know, how LeBron handled it.
You know, I was born in 84, and my parents did a great job of shielding me from a lot of this. I didn't really know, you know, how bad it was until I started getting a teenager and I started getting outside of the house and actually having those experiences. You know, and I think that in 2017, it's hard to imagine that it's still this blatant, this open, you know, it's hard to imagine that it still happens. How many other incidents, how many other times do we need proof to show that there are injustices, that there is still racism out here? You know, we have a guy that kneeled last year and now he can't even get a job because of incidents like this. But we just want to sweep it under the rug. Nah, man. LeBron has always been chosen. LeBron knew what his position was from the moment he stepped foot on this NBA court. And he's always been the athlete to move the needle. You know, Colin Cowherd, man, he's one of the guys I really listen to. I really admire what he does. And he's 100% right when he says LeBron has been the talking point for the last 12 years. And for LeBron to handle every single adversity, including this, with this style, with his cachet, and he's always on the needle. He's always on message. Man, like B said, this is not a good thing to happen, but for it to happen to LeBron is the best person to for it to happen to that can convey that message, man. LeBron, man, like this just goes on the resume of social issues. Everything LeBron means on the court and off of the court to the NBA is so great. And that leads me to my next point. And I know Ken is about to go off. This boy, Jason Whitlock, and I'm going to call him boy. This guy right here wanted to call it a disrespectful incident or something like that, something to that nature. Don't quote me all the way. This guy, he is the reverse Oreo. Like, I really don't understand it, man. Like, he talks about that there is racism, that there is this, that there is that. But when it happens, he shies away from it. He's like, oh, no, well, it's this. You brush it off. It doesn't matter that LeBron is a multimillionaire, about to be a billionaire before it's all said and done. Somebody that has elevated everybody around him on and off the court. To still experience this in 2017, what do you think happens to the nobody on the corner? What do you think happens to the regular Joe Schmo in America if it happens to LeBron James? Look, man, I just some people and I'm kind of glad that he's out there because it shows that it's not just the others that feel this type of way. Some of our own brothers feel like this. So I don't understand. I truly don't understand it. I don't know why we can't get over it. And you know, I think the election made it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
The election made it even worse, man. But you know, I digress. The original point: LeBron did his thing, and I'm glad he adjusted the way he did.
You know, I love the passion that I hear coming from B and Ralph about this. This story, you know, is it was one that we didn't need, and unfortunately, it arrived. But you know, I think it provided an opportunity. Because LeBron is a huge figure. He's a superstar. Everybody knows him. And if white supremacy really want to continue to reign, quote unquote, over America, this isn't the way to do it. You'll best be served trying to hold down poor people, or middle class people, or whatever, because what they did was they basically showed America that no matter how much money you have, at the end of the day, to them, you're still a nigger. It's what B said, and no matter how much money you have, no matter your status, we had a black president, so we all know what happened with that. I think it's funny because I got into it with a couple of people last week because they said, man, Ken, you know, you always talking about race. Well, stuff like this always seemed to happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a platform that allows me to have this conversation, not just in the household, but now people outside can listen to me talk to you guys about it. So they're privy to the conversation that we will be having anyway. And I'm not going to get too long winded because I have a lot of thoughts on it. We were going to do a show on it, but I do want to address Jason Whitlock. Obviously, I knew he was going to take a stance different from everyone else because he lives to be a contrarian. But I was extremely disappointed that he literally texted Colin Cowherd to come on his show to say the things that he said. He ran to the show to denounce racism in America because of what happened to LeBron. To say that racism doesn't impact rich people is one of the most ridiculous statements I have ever heard in my life, especially when he had nigger sprayed on his house the day before the finals. And, you know, impact happens in a couple of different ways, right? Sometimes it's physical, and sometimes it's mental. So while it may not impact him financially, he still has to deal with this emotionally. And we all know that no matter how much money you have in the world, there are studies and there are studies that show that say that some of the people with the most money are sometimes the most depressed, you know. So even they are not shielded from depression, you know, mental illness, and now obviously racism. Oprah got a lot of money. They wouldn't show her a purse because they thought she didn't have it. So no, it doesn't shield you from impact. It's not an inconvenience. You know what? I take that back. Jason Whitlock is right. It is an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience because somebody went through a lot of trouble to call you a nigger, and you have to deal with that. the racism is caused the inconvenience. That does not mean it's not racism. Just because somebody has to go out and remove paint from a house, and he has people that he can pay to go do it, and he doesn't have to see it. So, I'll end by saying this. I know he was also upset that LeBron analogized Emmett Till to what happened, and I think Jason kind of missed the point, the bigger picture, right? Because what LeBron managed to do is that, and Brian Windhorst said this, and a lot of people said this, and Google searches for the name went up. There's a lot of people that don't know about Emmett Till, but a lot of people know now. And so he educated a lot of people in America on this thing that happened that was kind of known in the black community and for, you know, and among people that fought for the causes or that was, you know, kind of interested in just what has been happening in the African-American community. But now a lot know. And so that's kind of what LeBron was doing, was like he was sending a message to America. And the most powerful thing he said out of everything that he said was that it's tough being a black man in America. And I think for me, man, that said it all.
No doubt, no doubt. Great points made by everybody. I'll just read to you, you know, what LeBron actually said. He said that racism will always be a part of the world, always be a part of America. It just goes to show you that hate in America, especially for African Americans, is living every day. Even if it's concealed, most of the time we know people hide their faces, will say things about you, and when they see you, they'll smile in your face. Racism is alive every single day. Close quote. I'm not even going to talk about the fat dude that you guys just talked about because he's not worth my time. It's unfortunate that this happened. It just so happened in the finals. But, you know, LeBron said, you know, basically a reality that most of us know, that you can't, it doesn't matter if all four of us were billionaires. You know what they would say? There goes four black billionaires. You know, so you can't hide from the color of your skin. And none of us who are black, at least the majority of us, would ever want to hide from who we are or our race. I love the way that LeBron handled this. And I'll be as a father and as a husband, I'll be the first to admit he handled this a whole lot better than I would have. Because I don't think you could have put me in front of the media and I would have been as calm and cool and as collected as LeBron. You know, forget the finals, just as a black man having hit. And keep in mind, folks listening, this happened to his house in Los Angeles, in Brentwood section of Los Angeles. For those of you who don't know, Google Brentwood. Brentwood is one of the most wealthiest sections of Atlanta. LA. This is a $21 million house that he paid for. So this ain't the hood. I mean, I don't want you to walk across my grass in my yard, let alone deface my property. You deface my property and then it's the N-word? Nah. He handled it a whole lot better than I would have, because at the time of this recording, there's been no arrest. Somebody knows who. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it won't be. Somebody knows who did it. I'm sure that they know who did it, and it won't be hard to find. But being a gun owner and being the type of person that I am, no, there's no way that I would have handled it as smooth as LeBron. I say a lot of stuff about LeBron, and I have the utmost respect for him as a man and as a competitor and as a basketball player. But I respect LeBron more so as a man than I do as a basketball player, because he handled that a whole lot better than I would have, because there would have been a lot of cussing and I would have been ready to get busy on somebody. Somebody would have had to pay. And I'm not talking. Yeah, he can afford to pay for whatever the damage was. But just to have to do that to your, I mean, understand this. This is his property. This is where he paid the bills. No, I don't want you touching my stuff, let alone spray it. No, come on, man. So I give him all the props and respect for how he handled it. Because trust me when I tell you, I would not have been as nice as he was. And sometimes a cooler head needs to prevail. Go ahead, Ken.
And you know what? I'm hearing, I'm listening to you, right? And you're talking about the approach and how he handled it and how your reaction would have been, you know, different. And all I'm thinking about is like, damn, it's a shame that it's almost like he had to do that. Because if he acted any other way, you know, he would come off as a belligerent, you know, black guy. You know what I'm saying? And probably.
But you know, sometimes Ken, that's what we need to do. I mean, I'm being honest. And that's why I say I give him the props and respect for not doing that, because, and I don't think it was so much as him trying to protect an image. I thought what he said about Emmett Till was beautiful, because that, like you said, that if for nothing else, that gave a history lesson. There's millions of people that watched that interview in that press conference, and they didn't know who the hell Emmett Till was. But you know what? They went to Google, and then they saw those pictures of Emmett Till laying in that casket, open casket. And they read about the story and they read about the history and they say, OK, I get what he's saying. That's, you know, what LeBron is talking about is what we deal with every day. We can't hide what color we are. We can't. And how much money you have, it doesn't matter. The person who did that, they know whose house it was. Trust me, there's no other gates got spray painted that particular day. So, again, man, I give LeBron all the props in the world for how he handled it. It's unfortunate. I love the fact of what he said about being a part of the conversation. You know, and I'm pretty sure maybe behind closed doors when he's talking with his wife, no, he probably wants to get busy on somebody. He wants and you can't blame him, because that's any man would do that. I don't care what color you are. So
it's almost like, what was the purpose, right? Because if you're trying to distract him from the finals to help your team, why would you call him that word when you have a bunch of other ones playing for you to try to get the title? It's like what's your purpose?
I don't even know. And somebody, I think one of my kids asked me, did I think that it was a fan? I don't even think that it was a fan that did that. But at this point, we don't know. And I don't know that it was done to be a distraction to him, but obviously it's a distraction. You get a phone call, hey, somebody spray painted this on your gate. What? You know, I mean, like, nah, and I think I was watching one of the interviews and he said, like, one of the hardest things was for him was the fact that he was in Oakland, his wife was back home in Cleveland with their kids, and, you know, even though he had FaceTime, that's a hard conversation to have over the phone with your children. That's a conversation that you need to have in a room with your kids so they can look you in your eye and they can really get an understanding as to what's going on. You know, did it affect them? I don't know. You know, and as a father and as a man, I'm pretty sure, you know, he probably had an even longer conversation with his wife as to, you know, kind of measuring the temperature for his, because his kids, well, other than his daughter, his sons are old enough to know. It's not like they were 2 or 3 years old. You know, I think his daughter's relatively young. But, you know, Ken, you got kids. I mean, like, that's not a conversation we want to have with our children, but it's a necessary conversation. And unfortunately, as black men in this country, that's a conversation we have with our kids daily. Moving on to the other subject is the NBA Finals. A little bit more brighter news. The NBA Finals have started since the last time we spoke. Let's see. We have finished game one and game two with the Cleveland Cavaliers being down. Golden State Warriors are up 2-0. You know, a lot of people were saying, you know, this finals, we'd been waiting on this, and they didn't know how, you know, climatic it would be, because, you know, we got the same two teams from last year. This is the trilogy. It's either going to be a repeat or a revenge, that sort of thing. And the Warriors proceeded to smoke the Cavs in game one and two. All right, now on this podcast, folks, there are two people that picked the Cavs and there are two people that picked the Warriors. I'm going to throw it to the people, and I'm not going to call them fans because we're not fans of these teams, but I'm going to throw it to the guys who picked the Cavs first. FIFA, I'll start with you. What do you think about the first two games of this finals?
Oh, man. Look, Golden State's the real deal. They, like people, you know, Magic out here talking about that they would have swept. Hell no. What is you talking about? it's so crazy that old people don't be giving new cats props. And I'm just glad that us with Dead in Sports, Dead in Hip Hop, we can actually be objective. But I'm not gonna lie, Golden State has made the Cavs look old and slow. And the one guy that looks old and slow to me, just compared to them, is LeBron. And that is crazy. But, you know, LeBron's about to be 33 December. He's older. He's lost a half a step last year. So, you know, he's only a year older now. He's played so much basketball. And against this squad, the way that they play, it shows. Even though LeBron James is still getting it done, LeBron is being LeBron. But the way that the Warriors look right now, they just look a step fresher. That's just basically what my eyes have told me. Now, the analysis to get these boys the victories that they need, I don't think it's that difficult in terms of adjustments and what they need to do. Kyrie honestly just needs to play better. That second game, where was he? I texted y'all that. Where is Kyrie? I don't know what's wrong. I don't know if it's an injury. I don't know if it's mental. I highly doubt that it's mental. But, you know, people have bad games. Kyrie didn't play exceptionally well in the first two games last year either. And they came in one game three. And that's what I expect. Cleveland has championship moxie, and that's obvious. These boys cannot get out-rebounded. They cannot give up more second-chance points. I think those are the two areas that are glaring weaknesses to me. When Tristan Thompson has, in two combined games, less rebounds than what he averages. Matter of fact, less rebounds than what he averages with offensive rebounds. That's a problem. They rely on Tristan Thompson, the $80 million man, to generate second chance points in possession. I believe he averages like 4 or 5 offensive rebounds per game. That's 8 to 10 points, if not more, if they hit threes off of those second chance opportunities. They need that. They're sorely missing that. They need Tristan to show up. They need Kyrie to show up. I like what they did defensively, but it is what it is. Golden State's going to get a lot of open shots, and they're going to get backdoor cuts. Cleveland needs to slow the game down. Look, one of the things I said that I liked about Cleveland was the fact that they have two isolation-heavy players, because that's how you can slow the game down. Obviously, you got to be on your game. LeBron needs to dictate tempo and pace, because if they don't do that in these two first games, Golden State has dictated all of the tempo and pace. It's been their game, and the Cavs have tried to play that game. Now in Cleveland, you got to play the Cavs game. They got to get more physical. Tristan needs to get double-digit rebounds. Kyrie needs to show up, and they need to slow the game down. In Game 7, all six games outside of Game 7 were a blowout. Game 7 of last year's finals, I believe the score was 92-90. That's the type of game Cleveland can win. They need to keep it under 93-89. They need to keep it under 100 points. They do that, they can win. Is it hard? Of course. Because this dude, KD, is getting the ball wherever he wants. He's turning around, not even looking at the rock. He knows he's going to shoot, elevate over LeBron James. That's cool. Play tougher. I think another thing defensively, what they need to do is take a page from San Antonio, switch as the player is cutting instead of when the player gets the ball in pick and roll situations, so that way you can deny particular players a la Steph Curry, a la KD at times, the ball, deny them the ball instead of letting them get the ball and try to man up. You got to get a little bit slightly more creative, but the Cavs still have not played their best game. I think this is pretty close to what we're going to see from Golden State in this entire series. If the Cavs play their best game, series might change. Cavs in six.
So you still sticking with Cavs in six?
Hey, I'm not backing down, Cavs.
Okay. And for those of you listening, there's $20 on the line between.
No damn way they're going to win.
Hold up, B. I'm going to throw it over to my brother Ken, since he picked the Cavs as well. Ken, just overall, man, your thoughts on the first two games?
Well, one of the points that FIFO mentioned as he was ending, or one of the things he said, was we haven't seen the Cavs' best ball yet. And I agree with that. And now, you know, an argument can be made that that's because the Warriors are causing that to happen. I don't necessarily think that's the case. The Warriors' defense has been outstanding. It's been legit. The Cavs are still adjusting to the speed and the style of play. For me, man, there are a couple of things, and I can analyze this whole series, the first two games. Oh, I have a lot to say, but I'm going to go ahead and reduce this and try to keep it as condensed as possible. Ralph made a lot of points. I'm not going to reiterate what he said. So I'll start with role players. Darren Williams hasn't scored. Kyle Korver, you know, has hit a couple of shots, but he's ineffective. J.R. Smith is a nightmare. 3 points, one of six. Shumpert's trying, but it's only so much he can do. LeBron has showed up. And it seems like every time we get to the finals, we always look and say, man, LeBron has showed up. Where is everybody else? This is the third time they have been in the NBA Finals. This is your third trip. And J.R. Smith still don't know how to play in the NFL, NBA Finals. How are we here now? I just don't understand it. I know Darren Williams is new. I know Korver is new. But J.R. Shump, you guys have pedigree. You guys are NBA champions. So for them to be playing like this is inexcusable. Derek Williams needs to play more. Get Richard Jefferson out of there. He's slow. Put that boy in. Let that boy, I don't want to disrespect him like that. Let that man get in there, man. He's young. He's athletic. I think he was the second pick of the draft behind Kyrie. You know, his offense has improved. Let him wreck some havoc. Let him just play. You need energy like that. Tristan Thompson, I just, like, you stealing money. You stealing money. And you need to be, like, I would just, I don't know what I would do with him. But maybe they need to get that Kardashian back. Because maybe he need her. I don't know what's going on with him. But
Tyrone. You know he got her pregnant, right?
When he got a pregnant?
That's the word on the street. Is that I don't follow up the gossip sites, but yeah, that's the word on the street that he got a pregnant.
Well, Monique said it's not true. Okay. But if he did, let's roll Monique. I can't blame him for playing the way he played. I'd be out there shook up too. But as a whole, man, shout out to Kevin Love. The one person we didn't think was going to show up showed up, and the one person we thought was going to show up, Kyrie, hasn't showed up. But I think for me, man, you know, the Cavs, I was telling my father-in-law this. We saw what the Cavs could do in the first quarter of game one and the second quarter of game two. The Cavs, when they made that comeback last year, they controlled the game. They dictated the offense and the defense. They made the Warriors feel them. There was a pressure that they felt. And right now, the Cavs are reacting to what is happening on the court instead of making the action happen on the court. And we may see that switch in Cleveland because obviously they'll be at home. But in order for them to win this series, they have to be the aggressor. They have to be the bullies. Right now, they got Curry high-stepping and talking a lot of crap. They gotta shut him up. And that's what, like, LeBron has to do. They got to murk it up. They got to play physical. And we already see Draymond can't guard Kevin Love. Obviously, KD can't guard him. Kevin Love is doing his thing, so they got to continue to do that. But they have to unleash Kyrie. And the last point I want to make, because I'm not going to go on long, because I got so much to say, but I'll just sum up by saying this. The Warriors, from what I've observed, are focused on one player, and that's Kyrie. They know that Kyrie is the most dangerous person on the court because Kyrie is their version of KD without the height. That man can score anywhere on the court. And they are trapping him and doubling him on and off the ball. And Golden State, they're actually sometimes on some possessions running him into the defense that they're playing. That's what they're doing to him. They're throwing multiple people at him. And this is where Lou has to earn his money now, because now this is coaching. And you got to figure out how you're going to beat this team, because your game plan isn't working. And if your game plan isn't working, at that point, you got to be like, look, LeBron, Kyrie, I ain't got nothing. y'all just go. Just go get them. Just sick them on them. Just go do what you do. And let them handle it. Cavs and six.
So you still saying Cavs and six?
Oh, they're going to win the next four.
Okay. They're going to win the next four. Oh, man, 4:30. Beasy. Mr. What Up, though, 4:30. Detroit's finest. Detroit versus everybody. The beat maker of the crew, probably one of the smartest cats in the crew. He picked the Warriors, I think. Well, you picked Warriors in six or five?
Okay. Six.
You've heard FIFO and Ken. You can offer some sort of a rebuttal or just tell it, and also tell us what you think about the first two games of the NBA Finals.
First two games, one, Warriors, they did what they were supposed to do, which is protect the home court. You know, your first two games at home, you don't want to start off the series, you know, going 1-1, heading back to the other, to the away team.
Facts.
You know, going back. But key factor is, Ken made a point of it. I was going to say this too, that, yeah, they're collapsing and doubling Kyrie a lot, like damn near every time. every time he try to penetrate, you either. And another thing too, you know, we're talking about, you know, how great offensively Kevin Durant is playing. I think this is the most defense. I mean, you know, this is the tightest defense I've seen Kevin Durant play.
Same here.
As far as I can remember, I've never seen Kevin Durant all over the place with those long ass arms. It was a play where Kyrie was penetrating, he was about to stop and pop, and Durant left his man, and with those long arms, he was still able to deflect his shot from behind with those long arms. And, like, Kevin Durant is, like, everywhere, man. But, yeah, Kyrie, they definitely putting the clamps on him with the double teaming and collapsing on him. You see Andre Iguodala out there collapsing, Livingston collapsing. You got guys who's concentrating on defense, and they swarming Kyrie Irving. So I don't know what Tyronn Lue's going to come up with a game plan to kind of get Irving going. I've said this before to you guys. The difference, LeBron had the luxury of guarding freaking Harrison Barnes. I think LeBron could say whatever he wanted. LeBron was tired as hell.
Oh,
you could see his whole chest and back just going up and down because he was tired. Because now, not only he has to do it all on offense, on the offensive end, getting everybody involved, scoring, doing it all like FIFO said, he has to play defense against Kevin Durant. He has to play defense. After a while, that's going to wear you out. I don't care who you are. It wears me out. If I play basketball and I'm guarding someone where I'm going to have to, like, guard them and have to kind of take on the offensive load, it's going to wear you out after a while, man. I don't care how great of a shape you in. And I think that's the case with LeBron, and that's the difference in this. That's one of the difference makers in this series, that the Cavs is not going to win four out of the next freaking five games in this series. And please do not let, even though when I predicted this series, I predict the Cavs to win this game and game five. And that was it. I can see them winning this game tomorrow, you know, off of pure adrenaline, home court. They routed up. They hype. But if Golden State wins tomorrow, we could be possibly looking at a 16-0 playoff squad. Something that's never happened since the first round has been to the league, to the round of four out of seven out of all four rounds. We could be seeing that for the first time. And I'm all for seeing history. I think that'll be dope if Golden State would go undefeated throughout the entire postseason, go 16-0 in the entire postseason. But yes, no way that Cavs is going to win four out of five the way that they're playing. For another thing, J.R. Smith is lost. I don't know what the hell is going on. He's gone. He's lost. It's somewhat of a smart move to play Miles Shepard. At least offensively, you can look at it and be like, well, you know what? That's not that much of an upgrade. But at least Miles Shepard is aware on defense, and he's not leaving folks wide. You should not be leaving Stephen Curry wide the hell open. Granted, Stephen Curry running off a lot of picks. But at this point, if you're watching film, I hope J.R. Smith is in there in the film room, because the way he's playing – I don't even think he's participating in the film room. You have to be in that film room, and you have to study these opponents, man. Like, study the way they come off these picks. Study how many picks they're coming off of. Everything. J.R. Smith is lost. Tristan Thompson is lost. That bench has been a non-factor. Facts. I mean, and then if you look at stats-wise, Golden State bench hasn't been, like, super, you know, great either. But the fact that Cavaliers bench, they just don't even seem like they're, like, they're, like, they don't seem like they're there. Like, they just, you know how when you're just playing with guys, it's like, damn, like come on, dude. Like, come on, let's go. Like let's ball. They don't seem like they're there. Dan Williams, I think he's stung for the moment because this is his first time playing in the NBA Finals. Kyle Korver, I think Ken warned us about Kyle Korver before.
No, I warned you about Kyle Korver.
I think Ken agreed. So both of y'all see the effects of that. Shannon Fry, he's a defensive liability. I want to see what Ken's talking about with this Derek Williams secret weapon, like he's just like some Terminator X or something like that. Don't see that happening. Now let's Tyronn Lue make some adjustments in Game 3 and we see Derek Williams start balling or something, or being not really balling, but start being, you know, intangible to the team. Don't see that happening. The bench is just lost, man. Bench is lost. If we don't get nothing from the bench soon, there's only so much LeBron can do. And like Ken said, Kevin Love is actually playing. We didn't expect him to play this good in the finals. Kevin Love is actually playing solid, man. He's really playing solid defensively and offensively. But yeah, until Tyronn Lue figure out a scheme to get Kyrie Irving going, Kyrie Irving better dig in his Black Mamba, MJ, whatever he need to dig into, because right now he's not looking like the good Robin to LeBron James Batman. And LeBron James, he's getting tired, man. He's getting worn out. Kevin Durant is wearing that boy out, and he's having a good series so far. So I still got Warriors in 6. If they win tomorrow, I'm going to go Warriors in 5. I just out of respect to LeBron. Out of respect to LeBron, they have to get one game. They got to get that one home game, one of those Game 3 or Game 4s. So if they lose tomorrow, if Cavs lose tomorrow, I'm going to still give them hope to win at least Game 4, and then I can see Golden State finishing out Game 5 on their home court the way they would like for it to be.
No doubt. Man, y'all said a mouthful, man. Let me start off with the superlatives, man. First, LeBron. Shout out to LeBron and Steph Curry for getting triple doubles in Game 2. I think that was the first time in Finals history where two players on opposing teams got a triple double. It was LeBron's 8th Finals triple double, which ties him with Magic Johnson with the most in NBA history. So that was a great look for LeBron. Also, LeBron passed Jerry West for 2nd and all-time in Finals assists. So, you know, he's inching up further and further in record books. That being said, I said that I thought the Finals would go 7 games. I thought that for the Finals to go 7 games, I said the Cavs would have to win Game 2. Obviously, they did. These games, like in watching these games, they haven't felt close at all. I thought we got a really, really good game in Game 2. But no, these games weren't close. Even the end result, they weren't close.
The second game was close.
Yeah, it was close. It was what Cavs. They had the Warriors had a 4-point lead at halftime. And then like something happened after halftime and they pushed the lead to 10. And for some reason, like when the Warriors get up 10, 12, it doesn't like the Cavs, I think team
huh? The Cavs had like a 4 or 5 minute drought though.
Yeah, they did. And I think that was, you know, they took some bad shots, they blew some defensive assignments. And that starts me on my first point is that one of the things that we talked about all basketball season long was the Cavs lack of defense. And they haven't played well. They played better. The game 2 was they were much better defensively. They forced, but I mean, like, have you ever seen a game where somebody forces 20 turnovers and still loses by 20 points? I mean, like you said, Kevin Love quietly has been the untold story of the finals because nobody's talking about him, but he has been beyond solid. Kevin Love has been flat out balling. LeBron, what can you say about LeBron? LeBron has been LeBron. Steph has played well. Kevin Durant has been the difference maker. And I think, you know, barring an injury or a suspension or, you know, somebody getting caught for dog fighting or cocaine, somebody doing cocaine at halftime, I don't see how this – I know I initially said seven. I don't see how this goes seven. Now, I will say this much. Two games don't make a final, right? So Phil Jackson said, and coaches have always said, you know, and the finals don't start until a home series. I mean, the playoffs don't start until a home team loses. The Cavs have to get game three. If they can't get game three, I'm not even giving it five. It's going to be a sweep. And I don't want to – I have too much respect for LeBron's game to throw dirt on him. And I have the feeling that Kyrie will play better. Some of the bench players will play better because bench players play better on at home than they do on the road. But Durant and Curry, and then you got Klay Thompson back into the mix. And Draymond Green has been there defensively, but he really hasn't added much offensively in either game. So the Warriors, so Ken's right. The Cavs have not played their best game. Honestly, I don't think the Warriors have either. So I think that there's room for improvement. I think what the concern I have is, and I was talking to somebody on Twitter today, can the Cavs close when they play better, can they close the gap? The biggest thing is Kyrie Irving. Klay Thompson is shutting down Kyrie. Well, I don't want to say shutting down. He is doing a great job of defense on Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is only shooting 22% against Klay Thompson. He is shooting 35% in isolation, 41% in pick and rolls in this series thus far.
Fool's gold.
When I look at his stat sheet, he's not scoring these buckets on Klay Thompson. So other than getting switches, they are running, they are trapping him, and he's a guy that's used to, like FIFO said, isolation, and usually he's not necessarily good at, you know, being trapped away. And they're bringing a big guy to trap, and they're getting the ball out of his hands. And Kyrie doesn't necessarily want to make the pass. He can, but he's got to be able to get into the lane and facilitate for other guys if he's not going to, you know, take a guy off the dribble. They came out earlier today, meaning the Cavs, and they said that they were going to keep the pace where they were, that, you know, they didn't think that they were playing too fast. I think they're playing way too fast. You can't get into a track meet. You can't get into a race with Usain Bolt. You got to slow this thing down, go one-on-one. If you're going to go ISO, you got to make your shots. I saw a couple of possessions in game two in particular where the Warriors got a basket. Kyrie brings the ball up the court, shoots, jacked up an ill-advised shot 5 seconds into the shot clock. Those aren't good. And sometimes, even if those shots go in, those aren't good shots offensively for Cleveland. Because what happens is that when you miss those shots or you don't get, you know, Thompson or Tristan Thompson, that is, or Kevin Love a chance to kind of feel the ball. And the Cavs have to work the ball around. I don't think whatever ails them offensively, I think they can be better offensively. And I don't think offensively necessarily they're hurting. But defensively, if they can't play better defense, this series is not going long. Because defensively, they and the Cavs have not been good defensively all year long. And this isn't a team that you can afford. This ain't the Celtics. This ain't the Raptors. This ain't a team where you can just play all. And LeBron, and I'll tell you, B, you mentioned the fact that LeBron was tired. One of the main reasons why he was tired is because, you saw him in the first half, going straight to the, I mean, it was straight bully ball. He was taking cats to the rim every time he got a chance. But that gets tiresome. I mean, and I know we know that LeBron is such a physical specimen. You know, we don't think about him getting tired, but all of that comes at a cost. So by the time the second half rolled around and they're going at this pace, he was gassed. He only took six shots in the second half. And you can't win with LeBron taking six shots. I think Cleveland, what they need to do, they're going to have to try to get Klay Thompson in foul trouble so that they can get some pressure off of what he's doing to Kyrie and let Kyrie get loose a little bit. And I think they'll be okay. But if they don't play better defensively, what they do offensively is not going to matter because Golden State's going to score and you're not going to stop them. You can slow them down, but you're not going to stop them. If Cleveland can't get it done on the defensive end, this series doesn't go, it might not go back to Golden State. I think it will, because I think that they will get game three. But if they can't get it done, man, it's going to be a long, long night come Wednesday night. Now, I know we talked about it a little bit. And people, I'll throw it back to you. I know you touched on it some, and maybe you have another point or two. What can the Cavs do to get back in this final? Because, again, it's only been two games. We know what we've seen. I don't know if necessarily we can take anything from last year, because the big difference between this year and last year is number 35 in white. So what can the Cavs do to get back into this finals? Because the finals aren't over, but for them to get back in it, what can they do?
No, the finals are far from over. Let's not write off the championship squad that came back down 3-1. Let's not write those guys off, please. Not yet. Now, if they lose game three, and it depends on how they lose, because to me it's not always if you lose, it's how you lose.
Right.
And what I see with the Cavs, look, there are a couple of adjustments that they can make. Again, when you're playing defense, if you guys watch basketball, right, and watch the San Antonio Spurs, they're one of the few teams that can actually bother Golden State. What they do is that when Steph Curry, KD, Klay Thompson, all of these guys are running around all over the place, running through around picks and everything, off the ball, you switch. So if you are guarding the picker, you now guard the guy coming off of that pick. And then the little guy gets onto the picker now. And you switch it that way, so that way you can deny the ball. See, the thing with Golden State, they're going to get open shots because that's how they play. They're going to try to get turnovers. They play great defense. They want to get quick shots. And then in the half court, if you can force them to play half court, they're going to run around. They're going to tire you out. So you have to cut off angles. You have to cut off those angles. You cannot. You can't have your guys chase them all around. You got to come off of the picker and now guard and deny the ball and play tough one-on-one defense up top. That's what you have to do. I think that's one major defensive adjustment the Cavs can make. Kyrie, in terms of scoring, and Ken hit it on right on the head. This is where Ty Lue, and this is why I always say this is checkers and chess at the same time. You got to move Kyrie opposite of where Bron is. You have to have a threat at every position on the court at all times. So that way they don't want to help off of Kyrie. Kyrie has to be more of a willing passer. Because that's part of the ascension and maturation of a superstar player, is accepting the double team and making a smart decision from that double team. That's what they're doing to Kyrie now. Kyrie has to figure it out. I don't have the breakdown. I don't have the terminology. I'm talking in a lot of hyperbole. But Kyrie has to figure that out. They are double teaming you. How are they double teaming you? Where are they double teaming you from? Who's the open man? And Ty Lue has to allow Kyrie to know what's going to happen and then put other guys in positions to capitalize off of that double team. If you're not going to double team Bron and let Bron continuously go to the rack and K-Love is going to be hitting outside shots, Kyrie needs to understand where that double team's coming from. I think also you have to slow down the pace. You have to dictate pace to Golden State. What that means is you don't try to run as fast as they do. You don't try to score as fast as they do. We're watching the number one and number two three-point shooting teams in the NBA. But how Golden State shoots them and how Cleveland shoots them is two different ways. They have to take the tempo to dictate their three-point shots. You can't allow Golden State to hit 18 three-pointers in a game where I can't remember the stat. I was looking at it earlier. But you can't let them guys be plus 8, plus 12 at the three-point line and get out-rebounded. They have to slow it down, take half-court three-point shots, break guys down one-on-one, kick out, rotate the rock, get open shots, because that's how they shoot their three. They have to dictate pace. I think that's the main thing. When we watch these two games, Golden State is doing what they want to do. And I've always said championship teams do not adjust. They play their game. Cleveland has to play their game. Golden State has to be like, holy crap, these boys is too big. Tristan got to get boards. They gotta get their shots. They gotta be willing to take their shots. They cannot only rely on the big three. They need a game from one of these bench guys. Darren, Kyle, JR, where are you?
There it is. What about you, Ken? What do you think it's gonna take for the Cavs to get back in this and tie this thing up and bring it back to Oakland?
You know what? When this whole thing started, I said the key to the Cavs winning this series is Kyrie Irving. I picked Kyrie to be the NBA Finals MVP, and that's what they need. And Kyrie has to be a threat. Kyrie has to impose his will on the Golden State Warriors. It don't matter who you put on him. You know, he has to dominate somehow, some way. And it's up to him to figure it out. It's up to Lou to figure it out. And I think, as crazy as this sounds, I think LeBron has to defer to him and play off of Kyrie. They need him to put up 30, 40, 30, 50. Whatever it is he need to put up, they need to do it. And I think at that point, once that starts to happen, should that happen, then everything else will come into play, because we know what LeBron's gonna bring, man. We know what he's gonna do, but they need Kyrie, because without Kyrie and with the way Kyrie is playing, they've basically turned back into the finals team that LeBron had 2 years ago. You know, because he's not ineffective. His points don't have an impact on the outcome of the game. He's having a Steph Curry series. Yeah, people always want to point to Steph's final line in the finals, but yeah, his final numbers may look great, but it wasn't an impactful series. Like, we didn't feel Steph Curry in the finals. That's why people say he had an off game, because that, you know, they're just vanity numbers at that point. And Kyrie is not a vanity numbers guy. Like, he got to go get his. And I like that they're focusing on Kevin Love and getting him going early. I know that that's something that they do, but I think they really need to get Kyrie off. And once he's going, I think it opens up for everybody else. The other thing I would like to see happen, I know LeBron want to play fast, but I would just give it to LeBron in the post every possession and just wear him out. Try that. Try something, damn it. But I think LeBron needs to play in the post more. When you guys, Kyle, when you mentioned him being gassed in the second half, you can see it in the second quarter. Going into halftime, LeBron was just huffing and puffing. But I think that he needs to pace himself and pick his spots. Like, balance your attack a little bit more throughout four quarters instead of so much in the first and second half. Granted, he had to do all of that just to get back in the game. So, LeBron, you know, pace yourself a little bit more, and it's Kyrie time. Because if Kyrie go out like this, he needs to lose Kobe Bryant number.
Always comes back to Kobe. B, what about you, man? What do you think the Cavs can do to get back into these finals?
They got to slow it down. You can't beat this Golden State squad trying to play up tempo ball like they are. Slow it down, man. Like, that's all I can say. Really, they just need to really slow it down, because every time they try, they're gonna give up that three ball and make them score too.
Hey, B, Warriors, can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Real quick. I saw this today. In all of the games the Cavs won last year, I think the three, they play at a faster pace than they're playing now in this series. They played faster last year.
The Cavs did?
Yep.
It seemed like it's not working against this team. It's a different team.
But, you know, it's like everybody's saying, like, they need to slow it down. But when people actually started, this is where analytics can be helpful. Like, I agree with you. It looks like this game is just moving way too fast.
They need to slow it down.
The difference kind of goes back to what you were saying. The defense really isn't there. And that's why it looks like they can't keep up with the pace. But once they basically broke it down, they say, oh, actually, the way they won last year was partly because of the pace.
But again, Ken, the difference between this year and last year is number 35. He's making a huge difference. Don't get me wrong, Ken. I totally understand where you're coming from. And I agree to a point. But I think we have to kind of throw out the narrative of last year. Now, do the Cavs have something to rely on? Yeah, but the Cavs aren't the same team as they were last year. And this Golden State team damn sure ain't the same team they were last year. So I think that's the thing.
No. Here's the thing, right? Like, analytics are good, but at the end of the day, I rely on my eyes the most. What my eyes tell me is that the Cavs do need to slow it down. If I tell you that these are the number one and number two three-point shooting teams, who's number one? I'm asking an open question to everybody.
Golden State.
No, Cavs are. The Cavs are a better three-point percentage shooting team, and they average more attempts and makes than Golden State throughout the regular season and the playoffs. Let me bring it home now.
Go ahead.
In game two, Golden State was plus 10 in makes. They made 18, Cavs made 8. In my soliloquy, I said, Cavs need to play their game. They need to shoot more threes. How do they shoot threes? In the half court. They don't shoot them in transition like Golden State does. By that number, it tells me that Golden State is playing at their pace. Cleveland needs to play a half court game and get their shots in half court.
Slow it down.
10 is too much. It is too much. You cannot allow Golden State to hit 10 more threes than you when you're the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA. That you're just not going to win. It's as simple as that. And being down 12 rebounds, that's just not going to work. Those are the two areas, their biggest areas of opportunities. They close those gaps or win the battle in those two statistical categories and slow the pace down, I think they win. That's how they win. That's how they won game 7.
Okay. Because they're not going to play better defense, because this is not a great defensive team.
I told y'all about the Cavs defense. I said their team defense.
We've been talking about it all year long. And I just don't – you just can't – yeah, you can get by with that against Washington or, Chicago or Boston. This is a different animal. I think the thing that they have to do is they have to slow the pace down. And like Ken said, you probably are going to have to win. You're probably going to have to get 85 points between your big three. That means Love, LeBron, and Kyrie. And then you're going to have to get double digits from one or two other people. They have yet to have somebody else being double figures in both games, meaning a role player. J.R. Smith hasn't done it. Tristan Thompson hasn't done it. Korver, Fry, Jefferson, none of those guys. And so you expect those guys to play a little bit better at home. But what Golden State is doing that, teams like Boston couldn't do, they're running guys like Kyle Korver and Channing Frye off the three-point line and making them put it on the floor. And they're reluctant to do it because that's not their game. So it falls into their hands defensively. But, yeah, is it over? No, it's not over. It's not over by any stretch of imagination. I've been watching basketball way too long and know that, anything can happen. But this Warriors team, man, we'll talk about it right now. What? Okay, Steve Kerr is listening. If you're listening, Steve Kerr, Ken, what do you have to say to Steve Kerr in order for his team to close out this series? If you could talk to Steve Kerr right now, what would you tell him that he needs to do to get his team to hoist the title?
Look, you know what we've seen with the Warriors? They don't even need a damn coach. That's my biggest – we saw what Walton did last year, and then Kerr goes out and Mike Brown steps in, and they're doing the same thing. They don't even need a damn coach. So there's nothing. Kerr, they could just go out there and just play ball and they'll win. So they're good, man. They're fine.
FIFO, if you're talking to Steve Kerr, if he's listening, what would you tell him that he needs to do or his team needs to do to get these next two wins?
keep out here hooping. just, like they don't need to make any adjustments. They need to keep pushing the pace. They just look, man. Like Kes, look, when you don't need a coach, when you're that self-sufficient, bro, they understand what they need to do. They understand each other's game. They fit perfect. You know, this was the perfect storm. They drafted 3 out of 4 of these guys.
Yeah,
they drafted them for a reason. Because this is what you do when you are a basketball architect. I'm not even going to say GM, because Jerry West has moved himself beyond a GM and advisor. He is a basketball architect, and this is what he's been able to do. He drafted the guys he knew was going to work, and then they were able to be in a certain position because Steph Curry's ankles were you know, they kept shattering every other game, that he signed a 4-year, $44 million extension. Steph Curry's making $11 million a year right now. And he was never able at the beginning stages of his career to do what we're seeing now. So when he signed that contract and you draft Draymond in the second round, he just recently re-signed for a big contract, and it's not even the full max. You draft a Klay Thompson, and he's signed for 80-some million, which is a bargain in these days. You have the salary cap to go get a Durant. And now this team is the perfect combination. Man, look, I've watched a lot of basketball. I'm not that old, but I've been watching ever since I was 6-7 years old. So we're talking 1990. So I've been watching a lot of basketball. This is by far the best team that I've seen with my own two eyes. This is the perfect storm. They all complement each other. They're all unselfish. They have a system that is catered to what these guys do, man. And everybody else outside of their big four is interchangeable. Does not matter who they go get. They complement so much of each other's game. And then they play offense and defense, man. And they can hide Steph Curry. This, you know, they have 4 all-NBA guys. Let me stop gushing about the Golden State. Let me digress one more game.
But you picked the Cavs in 6.
But you picked the Cavs in 6.
And I picked the Cavs.
And you going, man.
But you know what? This just proves how objective I feel that I can be, because I understand that's true. Titans.
You know what, FIFO? That's a good point. You're being very objective. I got nothing but respect for that. B, what about you, man? If Steve Kerr's listening, man, what are you telling him?
Man, go ahead and let Mike Brown get some shine, man. Don't even coach, man. You know, Mike Brown got this. Let the brother get some shine for a change. You know what I'm saying?
He came back quick, didn't he, B?
He came back so quick.
I know Steve Kerr was coming back.
Man, after that first game, Steve Kerr was like, man, I want some of this fun. Let Mike Brown just go ahead and finish out the series, man. Let him have a chance to coach against LeBron and beat him, you know, in the finals, man. Nothing else to say. Guys are playing great. They swarming all over the place on defense. Let's not forget. I think Golden State is like one of the top ranked 5 teams defensively this season, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Or if not 5, definitely in the top 10 defensive wise. So I mean, you add that to their offensive powerhouse that they're displaying. We could possibly be looking at one of the historically best NBA teams in the league, especially if Warriors pull out and get and sweep. Man, like, it's a whole nother ball game at this point. But yeah, Curry, man, you know, just keep put your foot on their throat. This tomorrow is the game that you have to put the foot on their throat. Suck the confidence out of them, man. Suck the life out of the Cavs team organization with this win tomorrow, man. So that's all I can say. Like, y'all should play this game tomorrow like it's game 7, like it's win or go home. Like, that's the mentality that you guys should have going into game 3 playing the Cavs home.
I couldn't have said it better myself, B. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think if Steve Kerr, if you're listening, I think you got to understand that 2 games don't make a finals. 3 wins don't make a finals. You gotta, it's the first to 4. Whoever gets to 4 first. and you know you're not in a position where you can afford to take your foot off the gas. You got these guys down. You know, put your foot on the neck. You know, I mean, what? And I like the fact that you know reporters have been asking them about what do they think about being perfect, and the Warriors to a man have shut that down. Like, look, our objective isn't to go 16-0. Our objective is to get to 16. And that means once you've got the 16, that means you've won the championship. So, yeah, keep doing what you've been doing. You know, you want to see Klay get off because Durant and Curry are going to get theirs. You know, I think you want to try to get Draymond involved offensively if you can, but it's not. I mean, as long as he does that, but I think the key for the Cavs, the key for the Warriors, particularly in Game 3, stay out of foul trouble because I think. They're going to try to get Kyrie going and try to get Klay. If they can get Klay Thompson off the floor, they have a chance. But defensively, what he's been doing to Kyrie and what they've been doing to Kyrie, if Kyrie doesn't make any adjustments, yeah, the Warriors are in good shape. But, yeah, keep doing what you've been doing. And if they want to play it, if the Cavs are dumb enough to play at this pace, hey, you can write your own ticket to the funeral home, bro. Real easy. You are listening to the Dead End Sports Podcast. This is a weekly sports podcast. We want to thank you for checking us out. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. You can find the podcast just about anywhere podcasts are. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud. Make sure that you go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/deadendsports. Subscribe there as well. Before we get into the next topic, I want to read a couple of headlines, things that you might have missed. A little segment we like to call In Case You Missed It. In case you missed it, man, Derek Fisher, former coach of the New York Knicks, got himself a DUI this past Sunday. Vehicle flipped over. He had Matt Barnes' ex-wife, reality star Gloria – I can't remember her last name – Gloria Govan. In the car, both were unharmed, but Derek Fisher caught himself a DUI. So a DUI for the Dirty Mac. Over in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs, much to the surprise of many, released their wide receiver, Macklin, and that sent shockwaves through the NFL because Macklin had just, he'd signed a 5-year deal, and he was just 2 seasons into a very lucrative deal. Back in the NBA, Chris Bosh, it looks like his career is ending. They say he has suffered a career-ending illness. You know, he did not play last year at all because of blood clots. It looks like we have seen the last of Chris Bosh on an NBA court. And also in other news, former Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice has been hired as a running backs coach for a New York high school. So Ray Rice is not back in the game, but he's back in the game. So just a little couple of things, a couple of news notes there in case you missed it. Now, also, Commissioner Adam Silver for the NBA spoke to the media last week. He got on the subject of the one and done. And the NBA he said the NBA stance is that they would like to raise the age limit from 19 to 20, but he doesn't know how likely that is. And they've even pondered getting rid of the age requirement altogether. So, B, I'll throw it to you. Do you think the NBA will increase the age limit to play in the NBA? And are you in favor of increasing it or doing away with it altogether?
Oh, man. This is an interesting situation, man, that Adam Silver is going through. I should have looked this up, man. I should have, like, looked over the past, like, maybe 15 years, like, players that's been one and done, how many of them has, like, been stars and how many of them haven't that end up being bust or whatever. But, I mean, because, yeah, you got – what, Carl Anthony Towns, you got Andrew Wiggins. Is he one and done? Was Andrew one and done? Yeah. I don't know, man. God, that's a – because I think sometimes – I think if they was to stay, maybe if you make them stay 2 years in the college, I think it would be better for college, and I think it would be better for the NBA. I think you'll have guys that develop, you know, better in the game because – well, even just body-wise, I think sometimes – when we see these one and done, you know, play 1 year in college and then they go to the league, a lot of these guys don't have like man bodies. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think sometimes when they get to the league and that schedule, going from a college schedule to an NBA schedule, sometimes that's wear and tear their bodies. And that's why, you know, you get these players that get injured. Probably a prime example, Jabari Parker. You know, he can't stay healthy, and it's unfortunate. I think he ripped his Achilles again, man. And this is like, goodness gracious. And I think sometimes your body just have to develop. Just you have to develop your body, man. Sometimes you coming out at 18, 19 years old, you still not a man yet, like just body wise. I mean, of course, LeBron James was like an exception of the rule. He was true. He was a man body in a freaking sophomore in high school. But yeah, man, I just think sometimes with the development of their bodies, I think sometimes you get a lot of these guys that get injured very easily or get injured quick, and then they stay injured because they're not letting their bodies develop. So that would be a reason why I would say, hey, at least let them play 2 years in college, because then, you know, recruiting wise, on the college side, you know, can you imagine if some of these one and done players would have kind of stayed one more year and the next group of guys come in? You can kind of start like a nice little 2-3 year dynasty with some of these college squads, and you have some real good college, you know, being played, man. I know Calipari would be against the whole players got to play 2 years, because Calipari all about it. Look, I just want my guys to get to the league, get their money, do whatever. You know, it's still a slope, man, because we've seen a lot of one and done guys who's in the league, who's we're saying the promising superstars of the league, future superstars of the league. Like I said, Karl-Anthony Towns is definitely one of them, and Andrew Wiggins is another one of them. You know, that's guys that we can see as like future NBA superstars in this league. So Anthony Davis, I think he's another one and done.
Yep.
And look what we paved him as.
Wasn't John Wall one and done as well?
Yep, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins. You know, like guys how we already pinning as future superstars after, you know, LeBron James and Kevin Durant hang it up. We pinning these guys as the next superstars, and they're all one and done. You know, but then again, on the bad side, you got one and done that just go to the in development league and go end up playing overseas, and we never hear from them again, you know? So it's a good and bad for everything. So it's really like a slippery slope. It's hard for me to, like, really favor one area and favor the other, like favor the two-year or favor just, hey, let them play straight up out of high school, and we just go from there.
Personally, I would like to see them increase it mainly because I'm being selfish. And what I mean by that is that I would love to see them come back and play another year, you know, in college. So I get a chance to, you know, become a little bit more familiar with the player than, you know, one and done. Because sometimes, you know, I'm not like FIFO. I just can't see it. Like, I'm not a talent scout or anything like that. Like, I got to see you play for a while. And sometimes some of the things that I see and, you know, the way FIFO describes it, like the college level kind of constricts what they can be or what they are because of just the way the game is played. But I think it would make the NBA a little bit better. It definitely would allow for college superstars in the NCAA, which we don't have anymore. I think we were talking about that a while back. But so for that, I like the move. But I think that only improves the college game. And I think it also, in a weird way, hurts the NBA, because sometimes you just have guys that are ready. So I'm kind of a little with B, where it's kind of like I'm in the middle. Because either increase it or get rid of it altogether. Because one and done isn't helping, you know. And even if you, like, you can increase it, and guys could simply just go overseas and play. If you get rid of it, you can draft guys and send them to the D League. They draft international players and leave them overseas to develop and get ready and stash them. So if they do get rid of it and they feel guys are not ready and drafting guys with potential, then, yeah, they can just send them to the D League and then spend time improving the D League and turning the D League into something that's worthwhile, yeah. which is what they're working mm-hmm. on right
yeah.
now. And then,
so that would be dope. That would be dope. Make the D League worth watching.
Right.
Yep.
Because it really isn't.
Yeah, that last point that Ken made was where I was going to end with. Because here's the thing, right? Like, the NBA is the second, if I'm not mistaken, the second most profitable sport in America, behind the NFL. I think they mm-hmm. have eclipsed Major League Baseball. So it's about money. And I think that you have to cultivate the talent. I'm against the two-year rule mainly because that's exploitation. There's no other job in America that says that you have to go to college for it. There's certain things in America that if you are God gifted to do, go ahead and do. And I don't think by removing it, right, it's just kind of like saying all drugs are legal. Is everybody that doesn't do drugs now just going to do drugs because they're legal? No. So if you lower it, that doesn't mean that everybody's just going to jump to the NBA. Some of these guys are going to want to improve their draft stock. Everybody's just not going to come out of the out of high school. And if they declare for the draft, some of these GMs need to have the restraint to say, you know what, we're not either going to draft you number one or that high, or we're just going to put you, like Ken said, in the D League and develop you. So for me, if you're going to make a rule like that, then I think that straight out of high school, you can declare for the NBA. And if you don't get drafted, you just go to the D League and build up that league. Because look, man, look, I have an issue with those guys being forced to go to college. Ben Simmons don't need college. DeMarcus could have came out of high school and been an impact year one. There's certain guys that do not need college. Now, Anthony Davis, on the other hand, he needed college. He needed to stay a couple years, even though he's a transcendent talent that I truly believe physically he wasn't ready. But it is what it is. Every player is going to be different. But I think that every player can benefit by playing at the highest level of competition. You're not going to get better by playing inferior people. You need to practice against. You need to train the best. That's how you're going to be the best player that you can be. So I'm against exploiting these kids going to college because they're not making any money, but they're making these universities mega millions. Nah, man, facts. I am not cool with that. These guys need to either, the NBA needs to figure out how they can cultivate that D League or just eliminate the rule altogether. I am not for 2 years because, yes, it makes the basketball player better. I'm not going to lie in that. And I'm also going to say that it makes the college game better. But we are exploiting these kids by not paying them because they're generating millions upon millions for these universities. I am not cool with that. Get rid of it.
People, man, you hit the nail on the head. I really don't have you took the words right out of my mouth. I don't have much to add. I think you're right. I don't think that it is, if you eliminate the rule, I don't think that it necessarily is going to hurt the NBA. What it does is it does a dent in college. And keep in mind that these kids who are the one and done kids, if they're, and we saw from the Ben Simmons documentary, if you really, and I'm assuming that most of these kids are going to class, but if you're one and done, if you can make it from your first semester of your freshman year through the first semester and make it to the second semester, you don't have to go to class. I mean, because after that, it's just basically games. You don't have to go to class. You can be enrolled in the school, but you don't have to go to class. I mean, what are they going to do? Tell you stop going to class? You're going to be punished? Nah, so it's especially for the kids that they know that they're going to the league. And my last point is that the NCAA profits off these kids. And I think obviously if these kids were getting paid, then I would be, if the kids were getting paid to play basketball in college, I would be more than open to them sticking around. And what I mean by paid is at least getting some type of stipend. I don't mean the quote unquote free education, because everybody knows that education ain't free. It comes at a cost. That's a story for a whole nother day. That being said, no, I'm all for them going. If there's a team that's willing to draft them, let them go in the draft. And I don't think it's hurt the NBA. Yeah, you have some kids and you may have a roster spot or two that is being taken up by a young player as opposed to 10, 15 years ago when it was taken up by a veteran? And has the NBA suffered in that aspect? Yeah, I guess you could make that case. But other than that, I mean, we're looking at some of the best and the brightest, you know, on this stage. And like B, you ran off some names. I mean, some of the names of cats that you mentioned, those cats are all-stars. When you look at cats like Wall and Cousins and Davis and, you know, and the likes of those guys, and then some of these other one-and-dones, some of these kids that are coming out now, these are going to be the future all-stars as, you know, the LeBrons and the Kevin Durants and the Steph Currys as they exit on their way out. Trust me, the talent pool is just refreshes. I don't think making them stay in school, especially when they don't necessarily want to be in school, I don't think making them stay in school is gonna make a difference. So if they want to come out, if they're good enough to get drafted, let them come on to the NBA and get some of that run and get that money. Moving on to our last and final subject, man, it's been rumored that the San Antonio Spurs are interested in making a play for Chris Paul. And rumor has it that Chris Paul will be entertaining the San Antonio Spurs. Now, as you all know, Tony Parker went down towards quad, I think, playoff series, and he's expected to return. But I think Tony Parker, if I'm not mistaken, is a free agent. He made some news this past week by saying that he would like to play at least 3 more years, and that would be 20 years. And obviously he wants to stay in San Antonio with the Spurs. So with Tony Parker aging, Chris Paul not getting any younger, the window seemingly, you know, almost closed shut in for the Clippers. The question is, should Chris Paul consider going to San Antonio to play with Kawhi Leonard? FIFO, I'll start there with you, man. What do you think? CP3 in the silver and black, what you think?
I like it, but this is un-Spurs. Like, they have to unload a lot of contracts, including LaMarcus Aldridge, Paul Gasol. There's somebody else I can't remember. But they have to move 3 or 4 guys. They have to get rid of Tony Parker's contract to be able to sign Chris Paul nearly to the max contract. So that's extremely un-Spurs-like. So I'm not sure if they're going to make that move. Now, from a basketball perspective, from a fan perspective, from a competitive perspective, yes, I want it to happen. I think it'll make the game easier for Kawhi. He has another clutch guy that has been proven, even though he hasn't made it to his conference finals. I don't think anybody has to question the type of pedigree and the type of leadership Chris Paul brings to a squad. And with Pop at the helm, I think that Chris Paul can concede enough of his game because the Spurs have a model and it wins. And it's just win, baby, win, and they do it. So I think that Chris Paul has enough basketball IQ to fit in that system, do what he needs to do for that team to be great. I hope it happens. I think it's good for the league. I still think that they need to get another person because they definitely need to get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge because he's proven the last 5 years straight he does not belong in the playoffs. Get this guy on a lottery team because all he want to do is just get buckets. He want to be paid man. No shots taken. But yeah, man, I want to see it happen. I think it'll be good. I think it'll be interesting to see the dynamic between him and Kawhi. But I definitely think they can make it happen. I think a pure point guard could play with anybody.
Yeah, it is. It is. Ken, what about you, man? CP3 in San Antonio. What do you think?
Do it. Do it, man. Go to a proven coach, Pop. We saw what he was about to do to the Warriors until Zaza took out Kawhi. So I think it'll be a great fit. You know, Parker is up there, even though he says he wants to come back. Chris Paul deserves better, and he deserves to be in a position to win a ring. And I like the move. I think with Chris Paul's IQ and Pop's coaching brilliance with Kawhi, like, yeah, I'm with you on LA, Ralph, but with Chris Paul, Kawhi, LA would be perfect because he won't have to do anything, you know? So, but just play off Chris Paul, and Chris Paul would get him going. But you know what, though? Now that I think about it, I take that back because Chris Paul, he likes to yell at people. Yeah, LaMarcus might not like that. So, but yeah, man, I think they should do it, man. I want to see it happen. I want to see what he does there. And, you know, I want to see him get a shot at winning the ring, because with the Warriors out west and the way they're constructed, KD talking about he'll take less money to keep them around, that L.A. Clippers team won't stand a chance to compete with them. So the only person that has a shot is Popovich and Kawhi.
No doubt. What about you, Beezy? Could you see CP3 in the silver and black?
Yeah. When Clippers got eliminated by Utah, one of my first tweets following the buzzer of that game 7 was, I said, if I'm CP3, I'll take my talents to San Antonio Spurs. And lo and behold, it looked like it might happen. I called this the second. Literally the second after that game was over when the Clippers lost. I'm like, man, CP3, get out of Clippers, man. Get out of LA and go to San Antonio, man. Like, if he can make guys like Tyson Chandler and David West all-stars, can you imagine what he can probably do, you know, improve LaMarcus Aldridge's game?
I know.
You know, like I said, he made Tyson Chandler an all-star. Like, that's crazy. So, yeah, I think him going over there with, like you said, Ken, with Hall of Fame coach Greg Pop, and then that organization, man, you know they're going to get some guys around them, you know, and, you know, Patty Mills still being a serviceable backup for them. If they still got money, you know, to afford Patty Mills. Don't know if Ginobili and Tony Parker's going to return. I think Tony Parker might return. So that'd be
– He wants to.
So that'd be interesting. That'd be a nice little you know, I don't know if Greg Pop would mess around with that and have, you know, both of them in – or, you know, Tony Parker being an exclusive backup for CP3, that'd be interesting. But, yeah, I mean, you go there, you know, I can see them making it to the Western Conference Finals again. I don't know, CP3 will automatically make them, you know, I don't know, though, because it was looking like they was going to get Golden State until Kawhi got injured. And if they can do that without CP3 and – they did it without a Tony Parker at the time. He was still out with the injury. You know, you add CP3 there, and if Tony Parker's backing him up, playing less minutes and being more effective playing less minutes, you never know. I mean, Spurs could. Greg Pop can come up with some schemes to try to, you know, shut them boys down. You already got Kawhi Leonard proving that he can lock up. You know, he can play defense, good defense on Kevin Durant and or LeBron James. So, hey, anything's possible. But, yeah, I would like to see it, man. I would like to see CP3 go to the Spurs and play under a Hall of Fame coach and a great organization like the Spurs.
Yeah, I think if CP3 wants to ever get out of the second round, I think I'd make this move. But well, you know, if the money's right, I mean, because his money got to be right. And I don't think CP3 is a guy who's necessarily hurting for money.
No state taxes in Texas.
There you go. That's one benefit right there. But you know, if he's into LA, and I know he's heavily involved in the community. You know, I don't know, but I think at this stage of his career, you have to kind of start looking around, and you know, you look at your boy like Carmelo, who's probably not going to win a ring, or at least, you know, play for a ring anytime soon. I'd make that move if the money's right and everything else. And I didn't even factor in what FIFO said, some of the contracts that they would have to move. You know, I'm not. At this point, I'm not necessarily opposed to getting rid of Lemon Booty Aldridge. I mean, because he hasn't done anything. So I think I would definitely look at it. If I'm CP3, I would definitely look at it. Because, you know, at the worst case scenario, I just don't see the – now, Doc Rivers, you know, to his credit, who's, you know, I've been outspoken about, you know, re-signing CP3 as their main priority. We'll see. We shall see. It's coming up on time for our closing thoughts. But before we get into our closing thoughts, let me give you a couple other stories in case you missed it. The NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are going on right now. The series is tied 2-2 between the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Game 5 is coming up soon. So if you're a hockey fan, you're looking at the best 2 out of 3. This is a very interesting series nonetheless, because the Nashville Predators are a team that was the 16th seed. So just imagine in the NBA, an 8th seed not only winning in the first round, but making it all the way to the NBA Finals. This is a true, true Cinderella story. If they can pull off and beat...
Go PK. Go PK.
I know, right? If they can pull it off, man, and get the win, that would be phenomenal. So we will we'll probably have to fill you in on the next podcast as to where they are. Also, in case you missed it, two NFL coaches got into a fight in a bar, and nobody got hurt. Rex Ryan and his brother, Rob Ryan, were in a minor altercation in a bar in Nashville. I find it interesting that both of these cats get, you know, get into a fight, and probably, you know, neither one of them will lose their jobs. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if Rob is actually coaching. I don't know. Rex will be working with ESPN. And finally, Marlins Edinson Volquez threw a no-hitter this week against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So just little things in case you missed it. Now it's time for our closing thoughts. First up, my man, BZ430. BZ, give us your closing thoughts.
Look, man, I don't know what's going on with the Cavs, but what's up with that reporter, Mike Wise, saying that the locker room smelled like some Mary Jane, little Reaper-ish up in there, man. I mean, is this the reason why that J.R. Smith seems to be lost on the court? Is this why LeBron James was chippy with the reporters? You know, is this why Cavs is not playing? Because they on that Mary Jane, man. They on that Mary Jane. They need to get off of it because they got game three tomorrow, a must-win situation for the Cavs. And Mike Wise, I don't know if you're just trying to start some stuff or if you're just talking out the side of your head or what. But to make those type of claims, man, that's, you know, that's kind of crazy, man, to say that they locker rooms, you know. And I'm from, what do you say? I'm from Northern California.
Northern California, right.
I know what cannabis smells like. I'm like, like, that gotta be a white dude. You can say cannabis. Gotta be. But, yeah. But yeah, man, like for him to say that, you know, then he's going to try to clean up to myself. Oh, it could have been a cameraman. It could have been a reporter or whatever. I'm not judging. And if you're not judging, then why are you speaking about it? Be quiet. Right. Shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like, for you to say that. But if it is, hey, look, LeBron, company, Cavs, y'all better do something because, you know, get off the marijuana for right now. Focus on the freaking finals. And now when you have y'all win, then, you know, you can have your fun with your cannabis. Hippo said cannabis. You have fun with your cannabis. I'm going to start referring to weed as cannabis.
Hey, B, you should do like I do. I keep it old school. I call it reefer.
No, I'm saying cannabis. Because when I say cannabis, that means, you know, that comes from a Caucasian male.
Hey, what'd you say his name was again, B?
Mike Wise.
Hey, Mike Wise, snitches get stitches, man. Remember
snitches
that.
Snitches get stitches. And you're going to try to talk about something I'm not judging. Snitches get stitches on Crip, cuz. Okay?
Oh, shit.
That's my final thought, man. Cleveland, if you're in there smell like cannabis, clean it up. Nah, man, you better go from cannabis to, I don't know, whatever something smelly healthy is. But y'all need to focus on the finals, man. And Mike Wise, man, keep your mouth shut, brother.
The stickiest of the icky. My man, FIFO, what's your final thought, brother?
Odell, man, keep doing your thing. Don't let nobody tell you what you need to do, because they wasn't there before the catch. They ain't gonna be there after the catch, and you was the one that made the catch. So people out here talking smack about Odell Beckham Jr. being at the finals, missing OTAs, they're voluntary. This guy's the best wide receiver in the NFL. I said it here. I know we're gonna have our top list coming soon. Odell Beckham's number one. This guy's the truth. Hey, man, forget the haters. Live life. Do it the way you want.
There it is. My man Ken, what's your final thought?
Shout out to Scooter Bennett, Reds left fielder, I believe. Tonight he hit 4 home runs.
Jeez.
Yeah. And he had 10 RBI, 5 for 5. He's the first player in Major League Baseball to hit 4 home runs since May 8th, 2012. So shout out to him.
My final thought, man. I guess before I start my final thought, I'm going to ask you guys a question. We all, the four of us, we live here in Metro Atlanta, right? and Ken and B and FIFO, you guys are familiar with the suburb Marietta, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would you say that you would be relatively safe if you were in Marietta on a high school football field, right?
Yes.
Okay. This past weekend, a certain NFL quarterback by the name of Cameron Newton had his own 7-on-7 football camp at a high school in Marietta. Can you guys explain to me why Cameron Newton decided to walk around with armed security around the 7-on-7 camp? And not just walking around with armed security, but they followed him everywhere he went, where people could not even get close to Cam. Now, keep in mind, the name on the 7-on-7 camp was Cam Newton's name. This wasn't Peyton Manning's camp. This wasn't Tom Brady's camp. So my question is, and I hope Cam Newton's listening, why in the hell are you at your camp with armed security? Do you really think somebody's going to stick you up at your camp? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. And we have tried on this podcast and on our videos to give Cam, to cut Cam some slack. Cam caught a lot of hell for the things he's said. He's caught a lot of hell for the things that he's done. You know, we felt for him when he was in that bad accident. We, you know, semi-rooted for him when he was in the Super Bowl. But I, for the life of me, don't understand why you would come to a camp with armed security, unless you're just trying to show off. And who are you trying to show off for? It's your camp. I don't understand. I don't understand. These new dudes, man, I just don't understand. Cam, you better get it together, man, because you only have a small period of time to do this. You only have a small period of time to be an NFL QB. And it's only a matter of time before, if you don't produce, they'll run your ass out of Charlotte. If you don't believe me, look around and look around at some of your counterparts and see what they're doing. That's going to do it for us. Once again, for FIFO, for B, for Ken, I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Dead End Sports Podcast. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Kafifi.
much. I'm trying to adjust my mic. Can you hear me?
Yo, what up, bro?
Yo, yo.
Look, my mic. Yo.
Why is this ringing? Is this ringing? What's going on, man?